Hey everyone, we're Day One Update. My name is Gromo and I'm joined by
Gulzar. Hello.
That is all. It's just us. We know the Game Awards happened and we are going to do an episode on it, but it's just that Eric couldn't make it. So I want to do an episode with us three actually in one room to talk about it, because I want to go over our own Game Year nominations, even though Air has probably not played a single game this year.
Probably turn my phone on silent. There we go.
As someone
Well, knocks. That's not my phone. That's
somebody. Someone is knocking on our window.
That is somebody literally trying to break into the room through your window.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so we're probably going to record that next week, and that'll be up next week, where we talk about our own Game of the Year
stuff. Or is Rise of Skywalker going to be next week? Because we're watching that opening day.
We'll record... Oh, shit. That is true. We'll record both and do both of them at the same time.
We'll flip a coin.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But
I'd like some a little bit of buffer time, because scheduling is erratic with Aaron.
Yeah, but he's on break, so it should be a bit easier next week. We should be able to record a lot. So yeah, today is just going to be this week's just going to be kind of a filler app. We're just going to talk about whatever we want to talk about. And then next week is when we go back into actual topical stuff. So Gulzar.
Damn it. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Damn it. No, I don't want to start first.
You just said to me, okay, I'm going to talk about my Ring doorbell stuff.
Yeah.
And then he just blanks out and doesn't talk about it.
Yeah. So I got my Ring doorbell stuff up and running.
Is that fun to set up? Is it easy, at least?
It's for my particular use case, because my house is really old and I don't know where my, the doorbell chime, the one that comes in every house that makes a noise and whatever. That's usually
Can you hum it for me?
Yeah. Eric came and helped me.
No, can you hum it for me? The doorbell chime.
No. Well, I can play it from my phone.
I need you to hum it for me.
I'm going to just turn this mic off and leave. All right. But yeah, certain houses, because of the transformer, which is like the little electrical box that like controls the power and stuff like that.
I thought you were talking about Optimus Prime.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep interrupting.
Because of the so every house has an AllSpark inside of the wall, right? And I don't know where, usually it can be inside of the wall near the box, in between that and the breaker, near the breaker, or somewhere in the ceiling of the basement. I don't know where mine is.
Mm-hmm.
So the only option I had was, because I couldn't replace it with something more powerful that can power a literal video security camera, I had to power it through a power adapter. So literally drill a hole through my wall, cable it around my door frame into my powder room, plug in a permanent adapter there.
Oh.
But that took a while to ship.
Is it? Like, is there outlets near your front door?
There's a powder room right there. So thankfully the cable is just long enough to go all around my frame and like have it nice and neat and clean and stuff like that. So that's really cool. But it was a pain to set up and clean up and stuff. Air left all of his tools. I only needed him to leave his caulking gun.
And he left all of
it? He left all of the tools, and I had to, clean it all up and put it to the side. I'm like, this motherfucker. But, yeah, it's cool. Like, a lot of people complain about it online because there's,
Why?
There's a lot of weird things. Like, the app is a little bit bloated, so you don't get to the thing in time. Android 10 is not particularly kind with it, but I feel like it's not that bad. There's stuff like there's no glass break sensor for people who are fully invested in it, but for Canadians there's not really much other choice. Like Nest doesn't do the police service, whereas Ring does call the police for you and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Ring is way cheaper. Like Nest is crazy expensive. But yeah, I'm really happy with Ring. The one thing though, I am in the market for potentially a Fire tablet. Or something like that, or maybe parts to repair my old HTC One. Remember that?
HTC One?
HTC One M7. First Android phone, yeah.
Okay, why do you want a tablet?
Okay, well, here's my thing. I wanted that video doorbell so I can track packages and babysit them when they're left on my front porch. Or, tell the person right there, hey, just hide it somewhere else, like other around my property. Mm-hmm. There is a live view, like your phone will notify you, but by the time you open up the thing, the person will leave. And when you have it on live view, like the live stream, it will time out after 10 minutes and automatically close. And then you'd have to like press resume on live stream, which is fine. But the cool thing about it on Android phones and tablets are when the timeout is there, like the 10 minutes are up and it says the live view is unended, click here to resume. You can leave it on that screen.
Yeah.
And as soon as there's motion detected, it will automatically resume, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it on my phone, though, if I'm expecting a package on a certain day because I have an OLED screen. It's going to cause burn-in. I do have an old phone, HTC M7, but one, that battery is busted to hell thanks to my sister holding it for 30 seconds. And two, the original reason why I replaced it with a Nexus 6P was that battery is bulging to the point where it's pushing the screen out. So I don't want to use it much, okay. Right?
Makes sense. You don't want it to blow up on you.
And my original plan is there is a Windows app, like a Windows computer app,
mm-hmm.
but two really annoying goddamn things where you open up the Ring app on the laptop, you could put it on your second monitor or whatever. When you activate Live View, the volume for all your other apps and windows goes down so quiet. Even if you go open up the mixer and try to adjust everything, it'll still overtake. And when the Live View ends at 10 minutes, it just shuts off. It doesn't go onto a standby screen. It just closes, and all the volume stuff is going to be blasted. So you can't have that, like, standby. If motion comes, it'll automatically open. Can't have that. They have a feedback page. I'm like, here are some errors and glitches. And they send me back an email. Hi, we don't listen to you. Shut the hell up. Like, we don't take suggestions. We have a suggestions button where you can email us.
Yeah.
We don't take suggestions.
But we don't take
Leave us alone.
Just going straight in the trash.
Yeah.
But I was personally looking for a video doorbell type thing too. But I also want to get, like, do you know how like Amazon or Facebook has like the Echo?
That's Amazon, yeah.
That's Amazon. So like the Echo thing, the Echo Dash screen?
Yeah, the Echo Show 5. That's one of the things that can connect.
The Echo Show. The Show 5 is, I think, the smaller one. But I want to get one of those for the kitchen as well, because so my parents, so they could look at it when anyone rings on the doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was looking into it. It's expensive. The Echo Show is really expensive.
Yeah, I don't think they're particularly worth it. Mm-hmm. They are essentially, you know, the response to, you know, Google Home screens? Like, they're essentially Google Homes, but they have the full screen that tells you the weather. It's that. Mm-hmm. But with the added functionality of, you can say, Alexa, show me the front door. Unfortunately, it doesn't automatically show you the front door when there's motion. It just, you have to do that command and then say it. Say, show me the front door. Which, meh.
Like you did the common courtesy of spelling out the voice command. Is that for the listeners, or?
It's just habit by now.
Oh, okay, because I don't have any of those devices yet.
No. Yeah, no, it's just habit by now.
Yeah, I was looking into it, and like I was trying to figure out who to go with, because my mom's been talking to me about, she wants to get some sort of screen that looks at the cameras that she could look at all the time. And I was like, a video doorbell works, and that Echo Show 5 just comes with it, and it's easy to throw up right away.
You do have a video setup, like a video security setup, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you get... Here, I'm sitting right beside a TV you were going to throw out.
Throwing it out. But the issue is it's all wired into this one central box, and that box currently doesn't work well.
But can you not access it through like any TV screen or a computer or whatever?
I could hit the web page. I could hit the local IP for it.
Get a tiny Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, just do a lot of work.
That will, I swear to God, that is actually going to be cheaper than show.
For sure.
You'd also have to buy a doorbell. And like, okay, yeah, a Raspberry Pi is a little bit of work, but it's easy for you. Whereas the alternative is you have to buy a doorbell that is capable of
like when you do this stuff at work, you just want to go home and just fucking pay for something that you can set up right away. You don't want to do it again at home. Like, goddamn.
I mean,
why do you think I bought a Synology and not build my own NAS?
It's it is relatively simple. If you just set it so it can only access the one page, all you need to do is access that one page for the thing.
I'll see.
Because are you going to get rid of your other security stuff if you get like a video doorbell? Probably or you're, then you're going to be paying for like two different things at the same time.
And you replace the hard drive in that thing too, because the hard drive for some reason is broken and I can't format it.
Also, your current setup, you can just keep stuff recorded, right? Like saved onto a drive?
The recordings?
Yeah, your current setup?
Yeah, it saves onto a drive, but I need to get a new drive because that drive doesn't...
At least, here's the thing, at least it does that. With Ring, unless you pay for a subscription, it doesn't... It's only live stream. Mm. And if you pay for a subscription, it's only on the cloud and you have to manually download one-minute clips at a time or 30-second clips at a time.
It's really frustrating because on the UI, it says like, oh, yeah, we detect the drive. This much space is used up. I'm like, all right, format, not doing anything. All right, format, not doing anything. And it doesn't do, like, none of the commands to do anything with the hard drive work on the UI. So it's like,
what's up with the pop filter?
Pull out the UI. What about it?
It's not covering your mic.
Yeah, I know. It's in the way and it just falls.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
We have really bad pop filters.
They're not pop filters. They're...
Yeah, they're not. They're makeshift.
DIY. They're literally coat hangers with some stuff over top of it. Hey, but they work and they're free.
But mine doesn't work.
Well, that's Air's problem. That's Air's chair.
Well, I've never had a pop filter myself.
I should just take that shock mount because I'm the only one without a shock mount. And you're not even there half the time. You're sitting there.
I am there most of the time.
You've sat there. This year, I feel like you've sat there more than you've sat there.
Air hasn't been here a lot.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or I'll take Air's shock mount. Screw it. He's not here. He can't stop me.
I'll just buy another one. Relax.
No, I want that one. Unless you buy me a really expensive one.
So, Akira got indefinitely delayed or canceled / on hold.
Oh, yeah?
The movie.
How do you feel? Were you actually excited for that?
I was excited for the fact that Akira might come back in some way where we could get more, either a new show on it or something, right? And also a movie on it would be interesting. I just wanted to see how it would be done. And it was Taika Waititi's and Leonardo DiCaprio being full-on involved with it, so I was interested.
I didn't hear anything about Leonardo DiCaprio still involved after Taika Waititi was in like announced.
Well, he was a producer, wasn't he?
I hadn't heard a thing, like a single interview or even an article mention Leonardo DiCaprio. It's always Taika Waititi's Akira. So it made me think that, oh, maybe when they announced Waititi, it was also DiCaprio saying peace out.
I've recently read articles saying Leonardo DiCaprio's producer. Maybe it changed. Oh. I don't know. But yeah, now that it's delayed, it's kind of, I'm kind of disappointed, but I'm also like, it's not that big of a deal.
Would you rather watch a bastardized Akira, Hollywood Akira, or would you rather watch Matrix 4? Because that's what it was replaced by on the release schedule, Matrix 4.
I don't know. Maybe Akira, because Akira has a soft spot in my heart. But
even if they bastardize it?
I don't know, man. They did the same thing with Ghost in the Shell. But the good news is they're still making an anime on it. So they announced that they were going to make an anime a while ago where it's going to follow the manga full on, right? Instead of the movie, which was made in between the manga finishing and starting. So it kind of had its own ending. But I'm really excited for that because if it's an anime, it'll be a series. It'll have a lot of episodes. It'll give time to flesh out. And since it's already done, there's no issues of fillers, right? And I'm really excited for that. But I have no idea when it's coming out.
Do we know anything about it, like studio or anything?
I didn't really look too much into it. I'm not sure about studio.
Are you sure it exists?
Wait, what?
Upcoming anime?
Yeah, I looked it up, Akira new anime, and it's getting a bunch of stuff. It's getting a 4K remaster and a new anime series. Mm. Are you not finding it?
Oh, yeah, I see it now. Yeah, I don't see a studio. Oh, no. I see a studio. Sunrise.
Yeah, it might be Sunrise. Interesting. He's also making a new movie called Orbital Era. Katsuhiro Otomo.
If that comes up for Akira, it'll be a basis for its quality. If it's really bad, what if it's a really bad CG thing? CG anime. It could be. You know that Blade Runner anime is like really bad CG? That upcoming Blade Runner anime, it's apparently going to be bad CG.
The Blade Runner anime? Oh, yeah. Because it's made... Oh, no, because I'm the one who talked about this.
Yeah, because it was made by
the same guys who are making the Ghost in the Shell movie on Netflix.
Which and that's going to be the same looks
terrible.
Yeah.
There's a teaser for Orbital Era, actually.
Hmm.
Let me just see it quickly. It says skateboard in space. That's it. That's all it was. It was like a 30-second teaser with a skateboard in space. Dr. Stone finished.
Yeah, I caught up. I was slowly catching up on anime today, actually.
Did you finish anime?
I was catching up. Yeah, wait, Dr. Stone. Yes, I watched Dr. Stone. Final episode.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, well, okay, what did you think, first of all?
I liked the ending.
But what do you think of the show in general?
I liked it.
Okay.
A lot.
I do think it does some things well, mm-hmm. like the set up the hype for the next arc
mm-hmm.
really well. The little like inclusions, like, you know, Gen singing that Pineapple Pen song, yeah, Pineapple Pen remix thing, that was like obviously not in the manga.
Yeah.
And the moment where Senku brings electricity, like the light bulb, that was done beautifully in the anime. However, every other amazing scene is way better in the manga, and I'm not talking about just by art quality, but
the Christmas tree.
Christmas tree was a lot better in the manga, I think. Was it really? Okay. Man, there are a lot of moments that I wish. It's the biggest thing for me is Senku's dad. When we find out about Senku's dad and the kind of conclusion about that, and walking up to the hill with all the gravestones and stuff like that, in the manga, that was my favorite arc mm-hmm. so far. I didn't think the anime did it justice, especially the flashback era when Senku's dad is up in space and stuff like that. I thought it was really disappointing, whereas in the anime, in the manga, you can kind of like... You can pretend that, hey, these astronauts aren't acting like dumb anime children and incompetent, like... You know? You know what I mean, right? I can picture their voices and their mannerisms as being like adults from Russia or China or wherever the hell they come from, instead of doing those random anime squeals and stuff. I think that's a big reason why I got ticked off. I think that's a big reason why I got ticked off at the anime.
That's possibly.
Art is fantastic. Like, you know how we talk about Hero Academia art being fantastic? It's that level.
Yeah. It's the same artist that made Sunken Rock, which is known for its art as well.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. Even the last episode, it was a good, because I know this is like in between arcs, sort of, right?
Yeah, like so at first, a lot of people were like, not sure about why it's ending on that point.
But I still think it was a decent way to end it to lead up to this next season.
They in the manga, obviously, they didn't play up the whole, all right, upcoming is the war and stuff like that. It was a little just more slightly played out.
And it was
so they actually did it smartly there.
It was more so to kind of hype you up as well, alongside Senku, while hearing the tape from his dad and stuff like that, and the song, and how it played into showing the flashback of where Senku got to till now, like what he went through till now. It was cool, and it's just so refreshing, because it's a shonen anime, but it's literally...
No, it's not. It's an educational anime pretending to be a shonen.
Yeah, it is.
It's
and it's
great.
It's literally about a main character, protagonist, facing science and dealing with the obstacles of overcoming science.
Yeah, because there are books out there where they're like, all right, if there's an apocalypse right now, here, this book is all you need to know to restart civilization. So if there's like a chapter on how to make an electricity generator out of nothing, right? This is that, but an anime. It's literally that. And when I explain it like that, people are like, oh, interesting. Because if you start explaining
with the anime mannerisms and tropes, but it is mostly that.
Did you know that so last week or so, I was setting up a new kitchen faucet at my house, and to drain the old pipe, I was like, how am I gonna?
Oh, siphon!
I remember the siphon. If it's on a lower elevation. Thank you, anime.
Thank you, anime. First time.
And it worked. It's
the first time you'll ever say that in your life. Thank you, anime, for this.
Thank you for teaching me what my high school failed to.
Yeah, like even the scene, like I loved how like Senku wasn't the only one who led to this, right? Well, he was the crucible and the fire that reached that pretty much ignited the science revolution in his village. Mm-hmm. But his Chrome, right? He inspired Chrome and the craftsman. I forgot mm-hmm. his name. The D's Dash craftsman.
Kaseki.
Yeah, he inspired them. And they ended up making a water wheel on their own.
Yeah.
Which like exponentially increased the rate of their science.
Yeah, it's one of those cool things where Senku's kind of gang prowess, like, oh, I don't have to babysit Chrome.
Yeah.
He is curious enough mm-hmm. that he will figure out the stuff.
Even Kaseki.
That's why he specifically left half of the thing for Chrom, and he's mm-hmm. like, you don't need me to tell you, hold your hand, right?
Yeah.
And he challenged him. That was like a cool moment. Mm-hmm. You could never have done that with Taiju as a antagonist. That's why they got him out.
Yeah.
Of like episode he's coming four
back.
Or five.
He's coming back though.
Yeah.
But I think it's good that they took him out and gave Chrom added Chrom. Because it was more of, it made sense for this progression in the anime. And then later on, when stuff goes down, Taiju makes mm-hmm. sense to come back.
I will say, the anime brought, like, they showed off Taiju and Yuzuhira.
Don't.
They brought back those two yeah. way earlier. Because in the manga, it was kind of like, all right, so who's, like, the way they were brought up in the manga was kind of like a sudden plot twist, because you kind of forgot about them completely mm-hmm. and there's like somebody asks a question to Senku, he's like, wait, Senku, but how are we gonna do this? Oh, don't worry, we have again wasn't the only spy mm-hmm. and then everyone's just like, what? And then they cut to Taiju and Yuzuhira at the grave.
Yeah,
and everyone's just like, oh shit. And you know what, you did bring up a nice thing about Kaseki. That was done way better in the manga, in my opinion. But remember that moment where Kaseki was like, I wish I had a friend. Like, you, Chrom and Senku, how you two are friends. I wish I had a friend like that. And then they're like, what are you talking about? You do have a friend. And in the manga, he kind of had, like, a little flashback and, like, oh, like, you know, I was made fun of, so I tried to make myself useful. And it was kind of sadder in the manga. And then when they're like, you do have a friend, he's like, who? And then he was, like, going through, like, the village chief? No. Is it like them? Is it them? It's right here.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. I love that moment.
It was a nice moment between them, because they're the main three characters that are launching the science thing, right?
There is one moment I really want. It's not going to happen in the next season. It's probably going to happen end of season three.
Okay.
If season two and season three are as long as this current season, like 25 episodes, it'll probably happen mid to late season three. But I hope you read the manga by then, because there's a specific moment that is going to be so that is so fantastically done that you can only do in manga
mm-hmm.
that I don't think the anime will do it properly, because it's going to be very hard, because they actually utilize the strengths of a manga page when you're reading a panel by panel thing.
Yeah.
And it's also my favorite moment of the fucking series. It is literally everybody's favorite moment of the entire series. But yeah, that's my Dr. Stone thing.
What I also love about it, it's just like, we as people, like, this is such simple stuff to us, like electricity and like, it's stuff that we don't really notice. You like, flip a switch and the light turns on. But like, seeing the childlike wonder from all the villagers looking at just the simplest things that are just so simple to us, it's so cool.
Gen being there is pretty great, because it's like, oh, a smartphone, what, that's crazy. But then Gen himself doesn't know what goes inside of a smartphone,
right?
I think that's like a majority of people. I know what goes into a smartphone, because I really like phones and stuff like that, but not everybody does. However, I don't know jack all about cars, you know, whereas all people who are really into cars will know. But majority of people, even a lot of people who drive cars every day,
they don't know
a thing about their car.
Yeah,
this is kind of that, like, if we woke up in the Stone Age, nothing would happen. We'd be screwed.
Yeah, that is true.
We would have like stories, but like, we can't write them down because there's no paper, because we don't know how to make paper.
We're gonna write it on sand and be like, oh, it's gone the next day.
The only chance we have is literally hoping that a copy of the Dr. Stone manga gets petrified with us and is just restored. And then we're like, all right, how do I make paper? Chapter 136.
All right, there it is.
Cool. Now I just have to find somebody who is a master craftsman, who has infinite stamina,
infinite stamina,
and somebody who has like 40/20 eyesight. Done.
Let's do it.
That is the most anime thing about it. Because instead of like, okay, you just happen to have somebody who has a perfect eyesight, you just happen to have the master craftsman.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise the show would take forever.
After the show would
take forever. It's still an anime.
It's still an anime. Like, even, oh man, there's just so many things I like about the show, but that is just a breath of fresh air in terms of shonen. It's it's been a joy to watch compared to other shonens like Fire Force.
I dropped that.
You dropped it?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Like, there were a lot of shows I stopped.
I'm assuming Error is, he's been talking about it nonstop. I'm assuming he loves the show. Because he really likes these type of shonen shows, and that's completely fine, right? Those type of shonen shows are enjoyable. But it's that one character.
Yeah, the fan service character that was brought about.
She had one main fight in this season, and it was done by doing her it that way.
Oh my god! I told you the story, right? How that was supposed to be just like a random background character, and then the creator of Fairy Tail.
I read it for a while, and like that character has been like this. It's like that for a long time, and like the fight, the animation is gorgeous.
Creator of Fairy Tail essentially says you should make her a main character. Yeah. There's a reason I dropped Fairy Tail. There's a reason why everybody dropped Fairy Tail.
The animation is gorgeous, but it's just the show runs flat on some of the characters and some of the story progression. But it does. You could see it amping up. But Vinland, are you caught up on Vinland?
No, I am. I want to watch as many episodes as I can before my Prime membership expires in like 2 days.
Oh, so you won't be able to finish it?
Nope.
Because there's two episodes left.
I'll find ways to watch it. It's okay.
But yeah, I'm so excited for where it's gonna end, and I'm so excited to hearing your guys' reactions on it.
The last episode I saw was 2 episodes ago. It was when Canute was actually like became a leader. Yeah.
Okay.
And he was like, "All right, just follow me." There, everybody was straight up, "All right, I'm gonna kill you." He's like, "No, you're gonna follow me." And they're like, "Oh, okay." Okay.
So where this show is ending, it's so insane, right? And that creator did mention in a tweet that they're gonna branch from the manga, right? I sent you that tweet.
After like the branch Thor- branch or
yeah, after the Thorko fight with Thorfinn, he released a tweet saying, "I'm so glad you guys enjoyed this episode. From here on out, like after a while, it's gonna branch a bit, the story from the manga."
A bit or completely?
I don't know. We're not sure yet.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I do understand why, because after this point, it is where some of the fans diverge in terms of liking it and not liking it.
Oh, so it's not because the thing's almost caught up.
Yeah, it's not definitely not because it's almost caught up. There's 160 chapters right now.
Okay, so if it is to fix complaints, then I would be okay with that because they're not like diminishing quality.
It depends though, because some people really like where it's going. Some people don't like it, and I'm assuming Air's going to be one of them. He's not going to like it.
Oh, I'm hoping they mitigate the. Are we going to see the reason why by this end of anime season? Like
reason why for what?
Like why some people like it, why some people don't?
No, probably not.
Oh, okay.
Unless they do like an end credit scene, probably not.
Okay. It makes me want to read the manga then. Damn.
The manga is really good. But I can see why some people are not too fond of it. By the way, this is also the prologue.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, it's also the prologue. But the ending of this is amazing. The prologue is the meat of the story.
Have you caught up on, what's it called, Hero?
The manga?
The anime.
The anime, yes.
So I found out, I've been trying to find out as much as possible as the upcoming movie. Because me and Gurkma are caught up with the manga, and it looks like it's going to be more for the manga crowd than the anime crowd. Because there are characters that straight, like it takes place during an arc after the manga thing. Like the anime will finish season 3 and the movie will take place. Actually, no, depending on where season 3 ends, the movie will take. No! Sorry! I just realized it will actually be confirmed to take place after the arc that just ended in the manga. So season 4. So this movie is directly for the manga crowd, which is really
weird.
When
is it coming out?
Like in Japan, it's going to come out in like 2 days or 3 days. And Funimation said in US and Canada, they're going to have a subbed and dubbed theatrical release in January or February or something like that.
So Air can watch it then.
Well, because I hated the first movie, I'm just going to read the spoilers and just check, is it safe for anime onlys? And then if it is, then we'll take Air. Mm-hmm. If not, then we'll not watch without him.
Yeah. Hero. But the show, I don't know. I'm not as interested in it as I was before.
This is the weaker arc, and it's not going nearly as slow as the manga did, mm-hmm. thankfully, but it's still one of the weaker arcs.
I still think, like, are you caught up with the show?
I just caught up, yeah.
I still thought that, like, the fight with Sun Eater and the three guys, that wasn't done as well as
hoped. Yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, he's just up against three grunts, whereas in the manga it felt like, oh, these guys were not grunts. These guys were,
yeah. Like, it just seemed like any other fight.
Same thing happened with the latest episode, the Karishma and Rappa. Because in the manga, it was so hype. And when Karishma is in unbreakable mode, he looks like a beast. Yeah. Whereas in the anime, he just looks a little tiny bit sharper.
Yeah, like, and there was a... They didn't really show any movement because he was constantly grinding.
Right? Yeah, I forgot that he went into unbreakable mode right away. And the only reason why I remembered is, oh, his eyes are hardened. And he said, oh, my... ultimate move
only last
right at the beginning and because he didn't look like he was and then I started seeing online, oh, here are the panel side by side anime screenshot and panels, which, like, it's really disappointing in the anime, but the animation was kind of, it was pretty fluid,
yeah, it was good, but the art for the that scene wasn't as hype as I would have hoped.
Yeah, I really hope that they do the end of this arc, the two battles at the end of this arc with justice, because those are great why fights. We're here.
Yeah, those are great fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Even this anime season, I actually really enjoy. There's a lot of shows that I really enjoyed this season. Next season, I looked over it. It looks very bland. Like, I couldn't find shows that I would want to watch.
I haven't even looked.
Well, let me. I'm gonna quickly go over it. See if I remember.
Babylon is on hiatus, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For 2 weeks.
Okay.
Which sucks.
I'm not caught up.
Then catch up. So, like, the biggest one, I guess, is... Oh, wait, this is spring 2020. Never mind. So, there's the new season of Haikyuu, and there is a new season of Madoka Magica as well.
Season or, like, reboot or what?
Season. I think.
Because that's an old show.
Yeah.
That's a really old show. So, it's probably, like, a reboot thing, right?
I don't know, but it seems like the same characters on the cover. There's a new Railguns anime, and... Pet is finally coming up, but the rest of them, like, there's no big studios that really seem interesting, and a lot of the shows don't seem too interesting, so it might be a season that I could catch up on some old shows. But the season after that looks very good. Spring looks very good, but nothing before that.
Do you have much hope for Star Wars?
The new one?
Yeah, the upcoming one.
I don't know. I've rewatched the sequel trilogy again, the sequel duology, or like the first two movies.
Huh?
I remembered I had a lot of issues with them.
Yeah, same. I was one of the people who really, really disliked Last Jedi.
No, let me talk about Force Awakens first. Right? So, you start the movie off, you have this new villain, you have the new Empire coming out to take out, enact this rule, right?
Yeah, you have not Darth Vader, and you have not Tatooine, and you have not the Empire, and you have not the Rebel Alliance, and you have not Han Solo, and you have not Luke Skywalker, and you have...
So you have the scene where you introduce the main character. What was his name in the mask?
Kylo Ren.
Was it always Kylo Ren? Did he not have a Darth, like, a name?
No. He didn't have a Darth anything. It was just Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren, okay. So he had the introductory scene where he walks out on the ship with his mask on, and you see Poe shoot him with the blaster.
The moment he stops the laser, I'm like, this is going to be the best movie of all time. Yeah,
because that was never done before. No one stopped a blaster with their force.
In video games it has, but not like...
But, like, no one's ever stopped a blaster with their force, so you're thinking, like, holy shit, this guy is insanely strong, right? They boosted that character up, and he held it there for a while. And when they walk away, the blast goes off and it blows up the house on the way out. And then you introduce Rey, and then you introduce Finn. The reason why I didn't enjoy it too much is because they have these weapons, the lightsabers. I watched a video about this where someone talked about it as well. The lightsabers, they were originally shown as being these Jedi weapons that Jedis can fully control properly, right? And in this movie, you have Finn able to pick it up and able to hold back Kylo Ren.
I mean...
Who has full training in the Force and full training with the lightsaber.
Well... I wouldn't say he was able to hold him back. It's more like Kylo was not.
Pretty well.
It's more Wait, are you talking about that very end scene?
Yeah.
Dude, remember he got shot by the Chewbacca blaster, right? He was not, Kylo Ren was not at 100%. He was struggling to walk.
Finn has zero training.
Yeah.
With fighting with a lightsaber.
And he was fighting a guy with a hole in his stomach. I have problems with Force Awakens as well. That was not one of them. The thing is, you have to remember about lightsabers, as they're not like these super magical weapons. The reason why everybody doesn't have a lightsaber running around is because blasters are better in every sense of the way. Like, why would we, if in modern sense, why would people be running around with swords if you could get shot?
It only makes sense for Jedis to really use because of the Force.
Yeah, right? Because they can literally deflect blasters with them.
Yeah.
That's it.
But I'm still saying Kylo Ren is a lot powerful, and he can use the Force against Finn, who he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to forgive that, because they did telegraph it earlier in the thing when I think Han used the Chewie's blaster, his crossbow, and he's like, what the hell? Because the stormtrooper went flying. Mm-hmm. That's what Kylo Ren tanked.
Yeah, I know. I get that. But, it's still... He still has the Force.
Here's the thing. The Force is super overpowered in the prequel trilogy. It's not that powerful in the original trilogy. Remember that.
Because he stopped a plasma blast.
Yeah.
Not even close to him. Far away.
I think a plasma blast isn't so much... The impressiveness isn't, Force control so much as reaction, because
it's also force control because he stopped light, basically
plasma, basically quote unquote plasma. I think the showing of Luke lifting his X-wing out at the third act of Empire Strikes Back, it would technically be more of a stronger force display, because it's this big heavy thing filled with water,
and he also knocked Rey back while in that mode, while he was underpowered like that as well.
Yeah. But with the Force. But yeah, you just have to remember that the Force is not like this big win button.
I don't
Because if it was, then Order 66 would not have worked on anybody. Remember,
it was mostly a surprise that Order 66 really worked.
Yeah, but there are a ton of people who are like, oh, I'm like deflecting blasters and I just die. Like, these are Jedis. They can use the Force, but they're still human. The Force is, really overestimated a lot of times, I feel. So, at the end of Force... He was able to beat Finn.
He was able to beat Finn.
With a hole in his stomach.
I know, but...
Bleeding.
It still makes no sense to me why he didn't use any ounce of Force against him.
Didn't feel like he needed to. He won. He beat Finn.
But why wouldn't you?
He beat Finn with...
Huh? Why wouldn't you, though?
He didn't
why
need
would
it.
You, why would you work... Why would you use that much energy to just fight with the lightsaber for that long?
Because people want to see a lightsaber battle.
It's still It's still weird how someone with no training whatsoever in the formal Ryu training with the lightsaber and is fighting someone who's mastered both aspects of being a Jedi.
I don't think that's an accurate thing, because, yeah, he could have used the Force, but he won without the Force, so it doesn't matter, right?
And Finn also got cut in the back, and it was just a flesh wound.
Also, you can argue that maybe Kylo's... Well, a flesh wound that he was in a coma for the entire, not the entire second movie, but a good portion between the movie, end of the movie, and the beginning of the second movie. All
right? It was right point blank across the back.
Yeah, I mean,
you should have been dead.
Yeah, but it's fine. It's magic, future, robot arms, it's fine. Dude, Darth Maul survived getting chopped in half, remember? Finn got a scratch on his back. And also, you can argue that Kylo Ren's control of the Force wasn't all there, because remember when he was trying to use the Force to get the lightsaber, but it went to Rey first, who had she had no training whatsoever.
But Kylo Ren's Force was shown to be really strong throughout that movie.
And yeah, but he had a hole in his stomach.
Yeah, but
okay. I think you're underestimating how powerful.
I do understand that. I really understand that. But it's weird how someone who's trained for so long under Luke, and someone who hasn't trained at all on both aspects of both those characters are able to overpower him.
I mean, he could have been
one on one.
He could have been a shit student.
He wasn't, though.
Could have been.
They said that he wasn't. They said he was like a prodigy.
He might have been the best of all the other students, but the other students could have just been shittier.
No, that makes no sense. The Last Jedi had a lot more issues on character, but I felt The Force Awakens kind of...
Force Awakens was too safe, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Force Awakens was like, all right, we're really scared of trying anything new, so we're just going to do New Hope, which is, that's not a comment, like, that's not a rare complaint. Mm-hmm. Everybody agrees. It's universally accepted that that's, Force Awakens was just too safe of a copy of A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really treading new ground by saying that again.
The Last Jedi, like, I like Finn as a character. He's a cool character, but they done him dirty in that movie.
Last Jedi would have been okay. And like, I would have liked Last Jedi better in a vacuum where it didn't, where it wasn't a sequel or anything like that, mm-hmm. to something that is pre-established. My biggest complaint about Last Jedi was, as somebody who personally really likes the whole pulling the rug out of you, or like fooling like the audience, is like, hey, you thought this was the case, but I tricked you.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they did that way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the characters. There's a lot of characters in the movie. Like, okay, so Finn, I really liked him as a character in the first movie and the second movie, but in the second movie, they did him quite dirty. They made him seem very, like, cowardly.
You're gonna have to remind me, because I literally haven't seen it since opening day on.
He tried to run away in the beginning.
From the...
The ship. When they were getting chased by the Empire, he was one of the first... He was trying to get to an escape pod and run away until that girl caught him.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my complaints.
And then...
I legitimately forgot.
They did that whole side story where they went to that casino world to find this hacker, mm-hmm. who literally played the little role in the movie. And he came back to have this really cool fight that would have redeemed his character against Phasma. And he won by pure chance.
Didn't Finn have the exact same thing in Force Awakened, where he wanted to he wanted nothing to do with the Resistance?
He did, but he still stood up.
Yeah, and then they just walked that back. They essentially did the exact mm-hmm. same plot line and just made him more cowardly. Yeah. And that was one of my complaints.
He could have had a really good I'm not gonna denounce like how good the fight with Kylo Ren was in terms of Finn standing up for himself. The fight against Phasma, they could have done something as good.
Did you see that deleted scene?
No, I didn't. But they made him. They made him win that fight by chance.
Yeah,
he could have won by pure persistence and showing how he's grown. But no, he had to win by chance again.
You know what was really cool? They had a deleted scene that made Phasma a lot cooler. That they like right before the start of the fight, Finn was taunting Phasma and he was like, "Yeah, you're acting hard and stuff, but remember." On the not Death Star planet, you were the one who betrayed everybody and led us right to the thing. And then all the other stormtroopers were like, She did what? And Phasma was like, because she had a crack in her helmet, you could see her eyes darting around. She's like, shit. Then she just shoots all of the stormtroopers at once in one motion.
Why did they get rid of that?
I don't know. It was cool. So they got rid of it.
Like, if they... I just don't like how he won that fight and what they did to Finn in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And even like what they did with Luke, I was like, come on,
like, what was the point of and who was the scoundrel thief character that they got,
that little hacker dude that they got?
What was the point of him? Because he just came
it was to I don't know hack into their system to mask their light travel thing, I think, something like that.
Now it's just gonna be like a Last Jedi rant thing a little bit for me, but you know what doesn't really make sense in the beginning of the movie?
Mm.
Hey, they tracked us through hyperspace. How do they do that? Everybody's confused. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, because in the Star Wars universe, that's generally impossible,
mm-hmm.
just because of their hyperspace rules or whatever. I'm not that well versed in it. However, they're Rose, well, that's her name, right? To show off that she's really smart, they had her come up with this. How do they track us? How do they track us through hyperspace? And then she, light bulb. They must have a device that tracks us through hyperspace. And then Finn looks at her and goes, oh my God, you're a genius. I'm just like, yeah, but like, how does a device work? I think everybody could have figured out that they had a device to track us through hyperspace. It's not like they can read minds or whatever. I don't think that was ever on the table. You know? I think when people were like, how do they track us through hyperspace? They implied, how do they build a thing that can track us through hyperspace?
Yeah. Not just this device.
If they had her to say something else, like, oh, like, they must have a device that tracks their hyperspace through jargon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure, that would have been fine.
Yeah.
But, like, Okay. Sure. I guess like I really dislike the trope of trying to show a character, like trying to tell a audience that a character is smart, not by having them say or do something smart, but by having other characters say you're smart.
Yeah.
You know?
Is the whole, like, there are so many, there's like, we could talk about this all day. There's a lot of issues that we had with The Last Jedi. Like, even, what was that new general that came out of nowhere with the purple hair?
The Resistance one. I had high hopes for her. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that her whole shtick about not telling Poe any of the plans was because she was afraid there was a mole. Because that's how the track went through my hyperspace, there's a mole.
Yeah.
But the reality is she didn't tell him because of there was no reason. Because I wanted to make conflict for the movie.
Exactly. She was just there to make conflict at the beginning and then to make you sad about her after.
And then he was thrown into the brig for attempting a mutiny. And then after all this stuff, Leia wakes up, shoots Poe for being an idiot, like idiot hothead for trying to start a mutiny. And then later, the general was like, I like him.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
He's tried to undermine you every step of the way, and you've like tried to screw him over every step of the way.
His hotheadedness, I guess? I don't know. This,
but you didn't tell him! If you're like, oh, you thought he was a mole? Sure, but that was never on the table. You just didn't tell him because... Why? Although, I hated that one line. I hated the fact that she didn't tell anybody because of no reason. I wish they just said, oh, there might be a mole. I wish that she didn't say that really dumb, I like him. Or I wish she just said something like, yeah, reminds me of myself when I was younger. Or something more subtle, I guess. But that shot where she's in the ship, hyperspeeds into the First Order ship, is probably visually the best sequences and shots of the entire Star Wars series. Yeah,
for sure. What do you think about what they did with Snoke?
Remember how earlier I was saying I hated how they kept pulling the rug and like, gotcha, this is not what you think. If that was like, I normally, like my first reaction was like, oh, no, like that's great. You built him up for nothing. And I'm like,
they built him up for nothing.
They built, no, not just that they built him up for nothing, but it's just like all the promo built him up for nothing. All the, like, Rian Johnson was like, I promise you're going to get information about Snoke for nothing. Mm-hmm. And you've built up a lot of things for nothing, like 3-4 times in this movie. Yeah. Like, Rey handing lightsaber, built it up for nothing. Luke throws the lightsaber over. I love that.
Yeah.
And then, and they kept doing this stuff like, bet you didn't expect that, over and over again, to the point where it's like, it got to Rey's parents. It's like, Rey's parents, even though in the first movie, we very specifically had... like said, you were important because Han and Leia were like, is that? Yeah. And then Maz, who gives Rey the lightsaber, implies she's important. A bunch of people imply, oh, her heritage is important. And then you're like, no, it's not important. It's fine. What? So then by the time they got to Snoke, my first reaction would have been like, I would have loved this turn of events. Mm-hmm. I would have loved it if not for the fact that, oh, yeah, he just, like, I feel like he just loves this director or this writer loves pulling the rug out of us.
I just wish
under us over and over again.
They kind of built up Snoke a bit more in terms of how he got Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
did
he become the leader of the First Order?
Yeah, just say, oh, he had connections to Palpatine or stuff. Like, they didn't even imply that. They're probably going to do that in the next movie.
Because Palpatine... does apparently return in some shape or form.
But that's what I'm worried about. Okay, I really didn't like The Last Jedi for just stomping all over Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not looking forward to Rise of Skywalker doing the exact same thing that Last Jedi did to Force Awakens. I don't want Rise of Skywalker to do the same stuff to Last Jedi.
Yeah.
The only reason some might argue it might be better is because, yeah, they're stomping over Last Jedi, just like how Last Jedi stomped over Force Awakens, but they're doing it because they needed to pick up stuff from Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
So their stuff was still telegraphed from Force Awakens that they just have to step over Last Jedi. I still, like, I part of me kind of would rather have, all right, you may have inherited something from Rian Johnson that you may not have predicted or wanted, but just inherit it instead of stepping over what he did and doing exactly what he did to your original movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer that. Even though I didn't like Last Jedi, just try to incorporate it into the trilogy so you can retroactively make me like Last Jedi. I would much rather do that.
Yeah. Like, even, I don't know, like, Vader was a menacing, scary figure in the prequel series. Not the prequel series, the original series.
Yeah.
Right? He was, from beginning to end, an actual, like, whenever you see him, you get scared. Like, he's a scary guy to go up against. I don't get that same feeling from Kylo at all.
I don't think you're supposed to.
I don't think you're supposed to, because he is, in terms, supposed to be inferior to Darth Vader.
Yeah, and, like, it's one of his biggest things. Like, in the beginning of Last Jedi, Snoke's like, you're wearing that. You're a Darth Vader wannabe.
He should have some, like, of that to him if he's going to be the leader of the First Order now.
His character design would have been enough had he not, like...
Just taken off the mask and never use it again.
Yeah. I mean... He doesn't look very menacing when he takes off the helmet.
Yeah.
So when he took off the helmet, like, super early into Force Awakens...
His saber is really cool, too. His
saber's still one of my favorite designs.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, that hilt is so dumb. You can hurt yourself. And then he uses it to hurt Finn.
Yeah.
So good!
Yeah, like, they actually show the usage of it. But, like, he doesn't have... Like, when he did the stopping the blaster, he had that feeling, and then it disappeared.
You know when he kills Snoke and he takes control of the First Order, I suddenly don't view the First Order as big of a threat.
Yeah.
Like, even though the Resistance was completely brutalized and lost their main base and lost a ton of their ships, and they're essentially, like, now a tiny ragtag group, the First Order was more threatening to me when Snoke was in charge.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Kylo Ren is a very good leader.
Snoke was this ominous figure who... Who sowed fear, right?
Yeah.
That's what his purpose was. Kylo Ren, they built him up to be a vulnerable character, which is good, right? But they still need that ominous figure to sow fear.
Because they built up, like, a sympathetic moment, and then they had the heel turns, like, all right, now I'm the leader of the First Order, and I'm the big bad. I'm like the actual big bad.
But
and
it then just seems like a kid having a tantrum.
Yeah, and that's hammered home by the fact that he gets clowned on by Luke.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he starts freaking out, like, fire everything you have! And then he goes to fight him, and he doesn't realize he's a ghost until, like, Luke lets him realize, oh, you're fighting a hallucination. Or, like, a force projection, rather. Mm. And it's like, all right, this is your big first showing as the Snoke replacement, as the leader, as the big bad of the universe, and you immediately get clowned on. It's just like, okay, First Order is nothing.
It could also be, like, that was him right after taking over, that he shows his inexperience, but maybe the next movie they could actually fix that and make him an actual scary figure to actually hold the title of being the leader of the First Order.
Because, like, in Empire Strikes Back, how that ended was, oh, everything is screwed. Han Solo got kidnapped. Luke lost his arm and his lightsaber.
Yep.
And, oh, Darth Vader, who is more menacing than ever, hey, guess what? He's Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
Oh, and, yeah, like... That was, like, starting Return of the Jedi, it's like, how are they going to how is the Rebel Alliance going to come through this one? How could they possibly win? And going into Skywalker, it's like, I wonder how they're just going to write it so that they win. I feel there's no fear. And I did have that attachment with the Resistance after Force Awakens. Not nearly as strong as the Rebel Alliance, because I grew up with that, but, like, I was invested in the characters, and the beginning of, like, Last Jedi, I was invested in these characters, and it was like, I hope, like, you know, the whole premise of the Resistance running away and they only have, like, seven hours of fuel or whatever. And, like, I thought that was really interesting. That's a really interesting way to do a Star Wars movie. But by the end of it, it's just, like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, it just kind of lost its thing.
And First Order is just kind of meh.
No. I just really, like, hope that Kylo gets to that point where he's actually has some fear with his character.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't work.
We didn't talk about Rey at all. What do you think of Rey?
I think she needs some work.
I generally like her.
I like her. She's an interesting character.
What do you think about the fact that, like, people call her Mary Sue?
I could see it, but also she does have her faults.
It's not just that she has her faults, but I don't. Do you view her as particularly overpowered or, like, overly skilled with the Force? Because I don't.
I haven't seen much of her Force to really...
Yeah,
other than her lifting.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, how is she an expert at the Force? She trained for, like, a day. And it's, like, they're complaining, stuff like that. But, like... And, okay. if we look at the original trilogy, Luke had very, very little time traversing with the Force in the first movie. In fact, all he had was Obi-Wan telling him, all right, just focus.
Use the Force.
Yeah, focus, just believe in it, let it guide you. So you can block some lasers and like on intuition and blow up the Death Star with that very particular shot.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing too crazy. And then in the beginning of Empire, he was able to pull the lightsaber in the very first scene because he was trapped by the Yeti. At the end of Force Awakened, Rey did the same thing, pulled lightsaber out of snow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's not particular. She knows about the Force.
Yeah.
She tried to pull it. She got it because she was innately gifted, just like Luke.
Mm-hmm.
But the people are like, how could she do that? She had no training. It's like, Luke had a little. Luke wasn't told how to do Force pull by Obi-Wan. He was able to do it. Why aren't you complaining about that?
Yeah.
And also, her big showing about lifting the rocks was the same as Luke.
X-Wing.
Yeah. I think the X-Wing is way more impressive. I thought the lifting the rocks was a little bit lackluster. I wish Rey did more. So why are people calling her Mary Sue? It's like, all you did was lift rocks. You didn't do anything in that movie. Like, even the big Red Room fight, that was a Kylo Ren showing, in my opinion.
That was more Kylo Ren fighting.
Yeah. I there was apparently another cut scene where the village where Luke lives, or sorry, the world planet where Luke lives, there was a village nearby where some shit was going down, and Rey just grabs a lightsaber, runs, and then saves them. But they're like, oh no, the movie is getting too bogged down. It's like, you had Rey do nothing the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did... I do like Rey. I wish they did more with her.
Second movie didn't really have her in it.
Yeah, she didn't feel like a main character. In the first movie, the only reason why people knew she was a main character was because she was big on the poster.
Yeah.
Everybody thought Finn was the main character because he had a lightsaber in the trailer.
Lightsaber.
We had no idea Rey was going to have a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
So she was kind of like the surprise protagonist. She wasn't a protagonist in the second movie because all she really was a connection for Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It was the main reason for her in that movie was to give sympathy or make both of those characters vulnerable emotionally and give their emotional connection, right? There wasn't really too much of other development for Rey. It was mostly her. She was the tool to give Kylo more depth.
Yeah.
That's what she was used as in the second movie.
What was the result of her finding out her parents were nobodies?
I don't remember.
Was there any like long-lasting...
I need to rewatch the second movie for sure.
Because
There's a lot of things I don't remember.
Didn't you just rewatch it? Didn't you say you rewatched it?
No, I rewatched the first one, Force Awakens.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you rewatched both.
No, I saw Force Awakens. But yeah, that shit... Man, I'm watching it... We're watching it first in IMAX because I know it's going to be visually really appealing and bombastic to watch in theaters. But story-wise... I have some hope, but I'm not going to give too much.
I'm the kind of guy who's looking at the spoilers ahead of time because I was disappointed with Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, if I know spoilers ahead of time, I won't be that disappointed. The one thing is, I do wish Rian Johnson came back because the big reason why I was disappointed in Last Jedi was because it didn't look like there was a big overarching plan. Like, you know how Kevin Feige has a big overarching plan with Marvel Universes? So he's like, he's telling directors, you can't do this, because it's going to conflict with that. It's like they didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So J.J. Abrams coming back to do Force Awakens was like, all right, this is the only reason why Force Awakens plot stuff will be brought back up because the first guy is doing it. But if Rian Johnson was doing the second one, then not only would we have not dropped plots and not wasted plots from Last Jedi, but we'd also have visually striking, fantastic shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Red Room fight was one of the most beautiful.
Yeah.
Thematically, it's like the second best in my opinion, but visually it's like, I think second best fight of all time as well.
Mm-hmm.
First one, in my opinion, goes to Luke and Vader in Return of the Jedi, especially with the orchestra music going on in the background and stuff like that. But yeah, J.J. Abrams didn't really do much visually that was super impressive.
I remember reading that they're making another trilogy after this.
I think they... So, Bob Iger and Kathleen...
Wasn't like Kevin Feige going to be involved in the next sequel or something like that too?
Yeah, they implied that, or that was rumors. I don't know if that's confirmed or not, but I think that everybody confirmed that. I was going to say Kathleen Wynne, you know, in charge. Kathleen Wynne, you know, Ontario Premier and Kathleen Kennedy is her name, right? Kathleen Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They complied. Yeah, we wanted to do more trilogies. we're gonna put that on hold because like after Solo bombed, they realized, oh, we're like actually screwing up and saturating the market with too much Star Wars. People are getting like Star Wars is not just an instant moneymaker anymore. We actually have to take care of it. So I think that's why they're cooling off.
I don't want them to go ahead and make another sequel trilogy on a whole nother timeline for a whole nother story. I want more spinoffs like Rogue One in the original conflict, showing off more sides to the war.
I actually am of the opposite opinion. Because I would think more stuff of the original war would be milking it. Because we already have comic books and novels and stuff like that to cover that stuff that we missed. A lot of people... I love Rogue One. I think Rogue One is my favorite of the newer movies.
Yeah.
And I think it's... Of all the Star Wars movies, I think it might be my third favorite movie, Star Wars movie of all time.
Rogue One is amazing.
But a lot of people are like, it's pointless. Why do you need it? You're just milking it. That was a very common criticism, even today.
I didn't see it, though, as milking it. You don't think about it, but near the end, you're like, this connects a lot of dots for the original series.
Just because they explained why the Death Star had such an obvious weak point was enough for me.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense. Like, that was one of the main complaints for the original trilogy, and they're like, okay, let's just give an explanation for it. And, like, the first war was just such a huge thing that we only saw one side of it. I would have liked to see, like, other planets, how they dealt with it, or, like, other things like that.
I feel like movies aren't the best avenue, because remember the original Clone War is...
I guess Jedi Fallen Order series can take care of that, too.
Yeah, like you can do it through video games, comic books, novels, because those are making Disney money right now. If you look at the original war from the prequel trilogy, that's all covered from the animated series, the Clone Wars, which is everybody loves.
Yeah,
everybody thinks it's great. If they were to do something similar for the original war, like the original trilogy war, like the Rebel Alliance versus the Galactic Empire, that would be a bit too much because we already.
I don't mean a trilogy though. I just mean like a spinoff movie.
Yeah, no, but like comics kind of already covered that. I would love a Thrawn movie though. But Thrawn's
even if it wasn't on the original trilogy, it's something that's where the Jedi is not a main character.
Yeah. No. Oh. Yeah. Okay. I would like. I don't mind the Force because the Force was in Rogue One, by believers of the Force. They didn't actually use the Force.
Yeah.
But Star Wars is more than just Jedis. And we had the prequel trilogy that milked and oversaturated the Jedi stuff already.
Yeah.
We can move away from Jedis. And that's one of the reasons why I really like Force Awakened. There's very little Jedi stuff in it. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't need to see Jedis and lightsabers every single time.
Yeah, like shows like some like the Rebel the Rebels or like even just regular people.
Yeah,
dealing with these situations, stuff like that.
Yeah, I would prefer not to keep tying it in with the original trilogy. Because remember,
not the original trilogy, but just overall.
Yeah, because remember Solo, how they're like, hey, Han Solo was the reason why the Rebel Alliance started.
The Solo movie was kind of... I don't know. Like, after Rogue One, you didn't get the same feeling. If it was before Rogue One, it maybe wouldn't have been that effective, like that bad. But since it was after Rogue One, it hit harder in terms of how bad it was.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. Oh, well, it's fine. I did not expect this to be a talk about Star Wars podcast.
It just ended up being talking about Star Wars because it is coming out. And we are all watching it on release day. So we will record an episode on it. So look forward to that. At least it'll come out some point. I don't know when. I haven't planned it. We are very off the cuff here, but it will come out at some point.
Yeah.
If you guys did enjoy this episode, us ranting about Star Wars, and what did we talk about at the beginning? I don't even know. Whatever.
Ring doorbells and Star Wars.
If you guys did enjoy this episode, please consider following us on our Twitter at Day One Updates or Instagram at Day One Updates. We will start posting there more often. Or you could email us. Let us know what you think. Just let us talk to us. Give us any updates or give us any suggestions on what you want us to talk about. We're completely down with that at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com.
And if you see this on time, tell us what you want to hear first. Either Game Awards stuff or Star Wars.
Yeah, that's true. Or dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com as well, not the number one. again, thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to share this with your friends, that'll be very appreciated. And we do appreciate you guys listening to the end. And we'll see you guys next time. So bye.